You're listening to the Ella Magazine podcast, recorded August 6th, 2014. I'm Scott the Butler. Now, almost everyone by this stage knows about the fantastic speech that Pantybliss gave at the Abbey Theatre that has become known as the Noble Call speech. It was discussing homophobia in very, very moving terms, but that video was done by none other than Conor Horgan, and he's been filming Panty for quite some time now to come up with a documentary titled The Queen of Ireland, which is going to be looking at the life of Pantybliss. He joins me in studio now at the moment, Conor Horgan, director of The Queen of Ireland. You're very welcome, Will.
Thanks very much.
So tell me about the documentary that you're hoping to put together. We'll talk about the crowdfunding campaign in a minute, but tell us about where the idea for the documentary came about.
Myself and my producer, Katie Holly from Blinder Films, had been thinking about ideas for films ever since we'd made our first feature film together a couple of years ago, which is called 100 Mornings. Yeah. And during one of these meetings, we sat down and she knew that I knew Rory Pantybliss for years, having been a photographer and having worked on the posters for the Alternative Miss Ireland for many years. Yeah. And in fact, you know, I think the first time I ever pointed a camera at Panty was 1995, which is not wow. Yesterday or the day before. And so, you know, I had kind of had an ongoing relationship with Panty, and we were both just big fans of Panty. Panty is such a vibrant character, such a kind of larger, literally larger than life character, especially when you stand beside her, you know, in the heels and the hair, you know, grazing 7.5 feet or so.
You would have known her from the times of Alternative Miss Ireland. So that almost feels like you know, yesteryear, but by this stage, the fact that it's now gone. And the relationship obviously has developed into something where, you know, you've now followed her life almost year on year. But where did the idea to actually put the documentary together and go, right, let's start actually filming?
A couple of years ago, I think it's probably almost 4 years ago at this point, myself and Katie, you know, again, had this discussion, and we approached Rory. Yeah. Now, Rory had been approached a number of times. You know, it's not surprising that Rory had been approached a number of times before then, had never felt comfortable enough to say yes, you know, because, you know, Panty is Panty, and we all know Panty, and Panty is, as I said, a very kind of outgoing figure. Rory is anything but, you know. Rory is quite reserved, you know, so I think the idea of letting anybody kind of into any of the kind of private part of the behind the person behind the public persona was quite challenging for him. But I think, you know, the fact we went to him and very straightforwardly and said, this is what we're hoping to do, and the fact that he knew me and he knew Katie.
So there was a trust there already.
Yeah, you know, and you know, that's something that is very precious to us and something that we're kind of, you know, we hold very dear, you know. So, you know, we did start filming, I think it must be 3.5 years ago now. I'm not entirely sure. I know we did a lot of filming around Pride 2010. And then we've kind of been on and off ever since. And we kind of were following things. We went down to Listun Varna to the first ever outing last year in September, which was kind of quite bizarre, seeing, you know, Panty dancing the walls of Limerick in this tiny little hotel ballroom with the wig practically grazing the roof.
Yeah, you know? Of course, this is for the LGBT matchmaking festival, wasn't
the
it?
The first ever, which by all accounts was a huge success. You know, it was wonderful. So, you know, we had been following Panty and kind of digging up. We've wonderful archive material. We have everything going back to Panty's first ever appearance on Nighthawks, age 21, as John Joe the gay farmer in a gold lamé dress and Wellingtons, mucking out the stalls and driving a tractor around a farm. You know,
so
kind of there's a wealth of kind of wonderful, you know, the life and times, you know, and we've, again, wonderful material from when Panty went. Rory, actually, before Rory even became Panty, was obsessed with trains and got on the Trans-Siberian Express, ended up in Japan, met a guy over there called Angelo, and between the pair of them, within a very short time, they had become the top drag act in Japan. Became known as Candy Panty. You know, they're superstars over there. They did backing dancers for Cyndi Lauper and all kinds of shenanigans they got up to. So, you know, we have a lot of that kind of material as well. And we're crafting all this into, you know, very much, you know, this is kind of the life of, but the thing that we were missing, really, was a kind of a story hook, something that's happening right now in the present moment to hang it all on. And on, I think, whenever it was, the 30th of January, you know, I was talking to Rory saying, well, what are you up to over the next file? Anything that we should come and film? He said, well, I'm doing this thing in the Abbey tomorrow night. You know, we should probably come down to that. And I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, we went down and none of us had any idea of what Panty was going to say.
This is just what I was going to ask, you know, that there was no idea that the speech that Panty would give would be so moving, and purely because of the video recording as well, it went viral. So clearly this was something that you guys weren't expecting.
No, I don't think anybody was expecting that. I don't think Rory was expecting that. Mm. In fact, I know that he wasn't, because I've interviewed him about it very close to that time to afterwards, and he was saying, who watches a 10-minute speech about homophobia on YouTube? People watching, you know, 30-second clips about kittens. Nobody has that amount of attention span, you know? But watch it they did, and watch it they continue to do. And, it, you know, like the Pet Shop Boys opened their last North American tour with that video and the single that they made from the speech, you know? So it just it has become incredible. Embedded in the culture. It's a wonderful thing to have been a part of. You know?
And obviously the story that developed from that, has that now become a central part of this documentary, or is it just one section of it?
It really is. It is a central part because, you know, it is the thing that is happening right now. It's kind of the thing that, you know, Rory has been an accidental activist for many, many years. And, you know, that was something that was always very interesting to us because, you know, somebody who gets up and almost can't stop themselves getting involved because they believe in something so passionately. Yeah. Makes for a wonderful character, makes for a wonderful central character for a documentary. And that was something that we always knew would be a kind of key part. Mm. But with the recent, with the Pentagon and everything, it became much, much bigger and much, much more important. But, you know, even going back a couple of years, Rory won best personal blog post at the Irish Blog Awards for this almost legendary blog post called No More Mr. Nice Gay.
I remember.
And that in specifically got more people out on the streets demonstrating for marriage equality than almost anybody had before then. Mm. You know, so something shifted then, and that kind of ongoing kind of activism, be it accidental or whatever, has just become a major part of what Panty is and what Panty does. And it's a wonderful thing, as I said, for us to be a part of and to be recording.
Well, it definitely is a fantastic story, and you know it's brilliant that you've been able to follow Panty and the stories for so long. But obviously, something like a high quality documentary isn't necessarily easy to make and isn't cheap to make. Now, you've started off an Indiegogo campaign to fund the Queen of Ireland documentary. The target is €50,000, which sounds like a lot, but already you've gotten just under 10,500 already, and that's after a few days.
I think 21% after four and a half days.
It's been
wonderful. Just the response has been great. We kind of launched it officially last weekend on Saturday night at the Gays Film Festival, and we brought an 8.5-minute promo, which was kind of some of the highlights of the stuff we've shot so far, because we have shot a lot of stuff. You know, we went over to New York at our own expense and followed Panty at the alternative Paddy's Day Parade in Queens in February. We've done a lot of filming. So, you know, we went to Ballinrobe, the little one-horse town where Rory is from, and interviewed the dad, and, you know, shots of tractors going down Main Street. So, you know, we presented this 8.5-minute promo, and, you know, I was just delighted with the response, because there are a couple of kind of pin drop moments in there, and they're, you know, being Panty, there are a couple of big laughs as well. So I think that really helped as well. When people see, you know, that we're doing something that reflects, you know, who Panty is and what Panty is, I think that, you know, they can't but respond well to it. So.
And obviously, you're looking for people to contribute as much as they can to this.
Absolutely.
Tell us a bit more. Now, like I said, the target is 50,000.
Yeah.
Is there any way you can maybe break that down for people, kind of what's entailed with that?
Well, you know, the cost of making a film is huge. You know, it's pretty high. There's crew, there's editing, there's filming, there's all kinds of production. There's also things that you don't really think about until you come up against them, which is music clearances. You know, and archive footage, you know, and when we've seen a lot of the archive footage, it all has to be paid for, you know. Mm. Music is obviously incredibly important to any film, really, but especially a film about a drag queen. You have to have the right music. You just have to have the right music, you know. So, you know, all of these things kind of add together. Now, the film itself, the final budget of the film will be far in excess of 50,000. That's kind of not uncommon, you know, but, you know, the fact that we're kind of asking people to help us out at this point, also, as well as the funds that come in and that we're extraordinarily grateful for. I mean, I've been very moved by, you know, some of the people that have just been able to throw in a couple of quid here and there and say, oh, I'm sorry, can't be more. And it's just wonderful to kind of see it coming in and see people supporting the project in the way that they are. But it also means that, you know, by raising funds in this way, we're also showing other potential investors, you know, other companies, distribution companies, people like that, saying, look, you know, this is your audience. These are the people that are interested in the film coming out and being good and are willing to actually put their hand in their pocket and help us make the best film that we can. Yeah. So, you know, it's a really kind of compelling argument to other people to help fund the film as well.
Absolutely. Well, as we were saying, it's only been really a few days since you've launched the, mm-hmm. the campaign, and already you've gotten just over a fifth of what you need. Now, the closing date for the campaign is mid-September, roughly. Mm-hmm. For more information, you can check out the Indiegogo website. We're going to put it up onto our website as well, so you can check it out on our Facebook and Twitter. For anyone else who wants, now you were saying that, you know, basically every little helps in terms of donations.
Absolutely, yeah.
But aside from the monetary aspect of it, is there any other way that people can help out or spread the word?
Please let people know about it. You know, again, you know, it's really touching to see all the people, all the friends and family and the people I don't know as well, who are sharing all this stuff on all kinds of social media. Mm. You know, so, you know, please throw us a few quid if you can. You know, if you can't, just let people know. You know, my sister today is sending out an email to some people that, you know, she thinks might be willing to help out, and other people are just, you know, a personal email saying, you know, I've funded this and I think it's a good thing. Mm. Means a huge amount, and it really just, it helps gather in an awful lot of people and let a lot of people know about it.
Connor, final question. Fingers crossed now you'll get enough money from this, and that'll obviously go towards the overall campaign and push to get the documentary out. When are you hoping to get the final cut of it?
We are going to continue filming until the marriage equality referendum next year. That kind of is the capper. That's the end of our story, really, and hopefully it will be a triumph.
You know,
a happy ending for everybody and for the country. And, you know, after that, we shall, fingers crossed, see you at Sundance 2016.
Fantastic. What a place to premiere it.
That's the hope.
Well, listen, fingers crossed. And, of course, if anyone can donate a few bob to the Indiegogo campaign, like I said, we'll put up the link online for people to get involved. In the meantime, keep us posted. Conor Horgan, director of the Queen of Ireland documentary, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, that's about it for the Ella Magazine podcast this week. My thanks go to Conor Horgan for dropping into the studio and chatting with us. And keep in mind, if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard in this week's podcast, or indeed any of the others, you can get in touch by emailing hello@ella.ie. And keep in mind, Ella is spelt E-I-L-E. In the meantime, I'm Scott the Butler. Thank you for listening to the Ella Magazine podcast.